PR News.
This is NPR News.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Cargill today says that its second quarter profit rose 41% as last year's corn and soybean crops drove a rebound in the company's core grain trading business. The suburban Minneapolis company said it earned $784 million in the quarter that ended November 30th, even as revenue slipped 8% to $30.3 billion, as processing volumes and strong overseas demand for grain improved results. A Cargill statement says that its animal feed and meat businesses delivered significantly higher profits versus the year-ago period, while its food ingredients business slowed. This morning, USDA reported export sales for the week ending January 1st. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 5.5, next year, 2.8. Corn this year, 15.3, next year, 8.3. Soybeans this year, 33.5. Also this morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 118,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China, that during the 14-15 marketing year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 17,720. It's up 213 points. The NASDAQ, 41.97, up 46. The S&P 500, 2,040, up 21 and one quarter points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Very cold temperatures occurred across the Midwest this morning and even down into the southeastern states, and the result of this has been some freeze damage in some areas. Hard red winter wheat, though, was not negatively impacted. It looks like some of the soft wheat areas south of the Ohio River from portions of Kentucky down into the Tennessee River Basin experienced some very cold temperatures today, with readings dropping down into the positive single digits between 8 above and 0 across a fair amount of that region. So a little bit of injury may have occurred to some of the soft wheat in that location, but it is doubtful that it's a widespread serious problem. Most of the Midwest temperatures this morning were in the positive and negative single digit readings, certainly in the southern two-thirds of the region. The 0 degree line occurred across portions of Missouri and into portions of central and southern Illinois and down into southeastern portions of Indiana through southernmost Ohio. And most of the extreme cold there occurred in places that had snow on the ground, so damage in the Midwest was considered to be quite limited. But there may be a few areas south of that 0 degree line where there's not much snow on the ground, where some positive single digit readings occurred, that there may have been a little bit of damage. Assessing that damage will not be possible, though, until we get into the spring season when the crops will start to green up, and some of the injury may not even be fully noted until the harvest season comes around. In the meantime, it looks as though most of the Midwest is not going to be faced with a lot of storminess for a while, but there will be some snow that will occur across northern parts of the region today as the next surge of cold air begins to push southward across the region. Already at the top of this hour, there's a considerable amount of snow occurring across a large part of the northern U.S. plains and Minnesota, but it has not reached very far into the Midwest yet. The winds will be switching around to the northwest with this next surge of cold, and we'll likely see some light snow and blowing snow occurring morning as the surge works its way southward through the heart of the Midwest. So for the next three mornings, we're still going to have cold conditions occurring across the region. Many of our areas will likely experience temperatures in the positive and negative single-digit readings once again. It'll be very similar to this morning, but with a little less intensity. We'll anticipate a little bit of a wind problem across the upper parts of the Midwest as we go through the day today, with wind speeds sustained between 20 and 25 miles per hour, and some gusts getting upwards to 30 or 35 miles per hour. That will create quite a wind chill across the upper portions of the Midwest. Some of the temperatures in those areas will be stuck below zero most of the day. The lower parts of the Midwest, though, will not be quite so cold this afternoon, but still way below average for this time of the year. We'll look for the afternoon temperatures in the lower Midwest running mostly in the teens and 20s, and we'll expect to see the high temperatures tomorrow afternoon no better. In fact, there'll be some areas in the northern half of Illinois and northern Indiana that will only be in the positive single digits on Friday afternoon. And then as we go into Saturday, we'll start to see a little bit of recovery once again, with temperatures back into the teens and 20s during the afternoons on Saturday, and on Sunday we may see some 20s and 30s across parts of the region. Down in South America today, the change in the forecast is very limited. In fact, for the most part, Brazil will continue to see a net drying biased pattern from southern Mato Grosso and northern Mato Grosso do Sul into Minas Gerais and parts of Sao Paulo, and these areas will eventually have some very short topsoil moisture evolve, but the subsoil moisture situation will continue to be favorable, supporting crops for at least another week to 10 days. Late January weather will become critical, though. If the pattern prevails, we're going to see an increasing amount of crop stress and a little greater concern over second season corn and late season soybean development. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey. Busey supports small businesses and entrepreneurs to bring vibrancy to the local economy. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter March wheat, 616 and a quarter, down 3 3/4. Soft March, 574, down 5 1/2. March corn, 393 3/4, down 2 1/2. May, 402 1/2, down 2 1/4. July, 409, down 2 1/2. December, 417, down 3 1/4. January beans, 1049, down 3 3/4. March, 1053, down 3 1/4. May, 1058 1/2, down 3. July, 1062 3/4, down 3. November, 1024, down 1. January soybean meal, 366.80, down 170. January soybean oils, 33.39, up 41. February live cattle, 166.40, up 50. January feeders, 227.45, up 180. And February lean hogs, 79.05, down 27 1/2. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning, Dave.
A muted affair this morning, and I suppose not surprising as we go down the tracks toward Monday.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of talk about what Monday's going to bring, and I think the most important report's going to be this grain stocks report, because not only will it give us the idea of how many bushels we started with, but also will show what kind of demand we have. The big question, I think, is livestock feeding, and also we've been getting a weekly ethanol report. You can kind of track the number of bushels used for ethanol production, but this livestock feeding is a wide open question.
And the range is significant, yes?
Yeah, I think so. There's just, to me, we'll probably be looking as of December 1 at about 11 billion bushel. So if we're considerably above that or considerably below that, we'll get a pop. And keep in mind, these grain stocks reports usually contain some surprises on the corn or the bean side.
Now, we've been seeing USDA trying to consider for this report what's old stock and what new stock for the last few years.
Yeah, and that question's probably not going to get solved in this particular report. USDA really has no way to track that, because they're asking the holders of stocks, whether they're old or new, and who knows how that gets answered. I think it, too, will be interesting, Dave, to see how much of this stuff is stored on farm.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we've built a lot of storage in the last couple of years, and I think that there's a lot more corn on farm than what traders are thinking of right now.
Strong ownership hands in the producers still.
Yeah, and I don't consider that that's really usually strong hands, but it has become stronger than in previous mm-hmm. years. Commercials just don't own much corn at this stage of the game beyond, say, March.
Soybeans, is our export program winding down now?
I think we probably are, although here we come with another sale to China this morning of 118,000 metric tons. So the spreads really indicate that we've got good commercial demand there.
Let's turn our attention to livestock, where you still got to put your seatbelt on.
Oh, man, every day it seems like there's something crazy that's going to happen in these in the cattle or the feeder cattle. I think the disappointment this week, however, has been that with the cash market as strong as it was yesterday, we did not see the futures and the live cattle follow. Really had kind of a quiet day yesterday.
Thank you very much, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, March corn, 394 and a quarter. Now 94 even, down 2 and a quarter. July, 409 and a quarter, down 2 and a quarter. December, 417, down 3 and a quarter. January, soybeans, 1047, down 5 and 3 quarters. July, 1059 and a quarter, down 6 and a half. November, 1020 and 3 quarters, down 4 and a quarter. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.